Edius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, 2:1. And now the Mishnah begins with the recording of testimonies from various personages in the time of the beginning of the post-Chorban era. And the first is Rabbi Chanina Segana Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina, who was the deputy Kohen Gadol, meaning he was the kind of literal right-hand man of the Kohen Gadol, who would be at his right side. And in the event, for example, on Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol became Tame and couldn't serve, so then the deputy, the Segan, would fill his shoes. Not literally, he would be barefoot, of course. And this is the Rabbi Chanina, was the Segan Kohanim, the deputy Kohen Gadol, at the time of the Chorban. So he's going to testify about different things that he witnessed, and we'll extrapolate halachas from that in the Mishnayos to come. In total, Heid Arba Devarim, he testified regarding four things, so that'll occupy us for the next three Mishnayos. And this first Mishnah here is talking about something to do with Tuma and Tahara. It's actually a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Pesachim, in the first parak, Mishnah above. So just a moment's background here. So Tuma, which is a halachic and really spiritual reality, basically spreads starting from an Av HaTuma, usually. I'll translate loosely, Av being source, a very poor translation. And then it spreads from there to what the Mishnah refers to as a vlad, meaning offspring. So what happens is, if avatuma touches, let's say an avatuma touches wine, so then the wine becomes a rishon latuma, first degree removed, and if that wine then touches bread, so then the bread becomes a sheni, second degree removed from the source, and if the when it comes to chulin, regular foodstuffs, that's as far as it goes. There's no such thing as a shlishi for regular foodstuffs. But truma, the gift that goes to the Kohen, and things that have a halachic status like truma, like, for example, challah. So those things can actually become a shlishi latuma, 3 degrees removed. And kadshim, sacrificial foodstuffs, like meat from karbanos or from a mincha, those can even become a revi'i, 4 degrees removed. That would be the maximum. Okay? Now, there is a iser, a prohibition on allowing kadshim or truma to become tame. So we want to protect that from happening. There's also an obligation that should kadshim, like say sacrificial meat, become tame, so it needs to be burned. It's taken out of the base of English precinct and it's burned. So the question that our Mishnah wants to answer is, if anyways you're burning tame sacrificial meat, is it possible, are you allowed to burn shlishi meat with rishon tame meat? The idea is that if the two meats touch each other, so then the rishon will turn the shlishi into a sheni, meaning it will actually spread tuma and make the shlishi meat more tame, let's call it. And since you're not allowed to normally make kadshim sacrificial meats become tame, are you allowed to do that when anyways you're just burning them? That's the question. So says the Mishnah inside, Rabbi Chanina Segana Kohanim, Heid, Arba Devarim. He testified regarding four things. The first is Miyameim Shel Kohanim. During the entire period that the Kohanim served in the Beis HaMikdash, he testifies, Lo Nimnu Milisrof Es HaBasar Shenitma Bevlada Tuma, Im HaBasar Shenitma Ba'avatuma. They never refrained from burning sacrificial meat that became Tame from a Vlad. Now, Vlad means a child as opposed to an Av. In many Mishnayos, we're referring specifically to a Rishon, but in this case, it's referring to even like a Sheni. So it's a Vlad Atuma. The meat became Tame from a Vlad, meaning that the meat now becomes a Shlishi. Hanitma im habasar shnitma ba'avatuma. That is now going to be burning alongside other meat, which became Tame from an Avatuma, since it touched an Avatuma. So now it is a Rishon. So again, you have a Rishon and a Shlishi burning together. The Rishon might touch the Shlishi, making it into a Sheni. But since anyways they're being burned, testifies Reb Chanina Segana Kohanim, that they let it happen, they didn't care. It was mutter. Afal pi shemosifin tuma al tumaso. Even though, indeed, you're upgrading the tuma level of that shlishi from a shlishi to a sheni. Okay, that's part one. Now part two, Hosef Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva says more than that. So the basic gist of Rebbe Kiva's point is, not only can you go up and allow it to happen going from a shlishi to a sheni, like 1 degree up, you can even let it go 2 degrees up. So the case the Rebbe Kiva brings is talking about truma, not kadshim, but basically the rules are exactly the same, okay? And it, we're talking here about truma that became exposed to a tevul yom. Now, a tevul yom is someone who went to the mikveh that day. He was tameh, whatever he was, let's call him a zav or something. He now, part of his purification process, he has to go to the mikveh. And what happens is, for the rest of that day until Harav Shemesh, nightfall, we call Tzei Sukuchavim, the person is still what's called a tevul yom, a guy who went to the mikveh that day, and he has the status effectively as being a sheni, like a secondary tumah equivalent. So that being the case, if a tevul yom touches truma, he would render the truma to become a shlishi. Okay? It's not allowed to happen, but if he did, he did. Now, a separate rule, and this is like another one of the many rules of tumah and tahara, is that, although usually the rule, the basic way it works, is that direct contact at each stage drops things down one level, so the av touches something, the thing becomes a rishon, that thing touches something and becomes a sheni, and so on. So, when it comes to tumas mace, where the source of the tumah ultimately was the an avi avos, was a corpse itself, or a significant portion of a corpse, so whoever gets exposed to that corpse, or portion of the corpse, whether you're talking about maga, direct contact, or masa, bearing its weight, or ohel being the same room as it, so that thing will then become an av tumah, called tumay mace. And the tumay mace normally would convey things from a rishon. He's tumay mace is an av, and if you touch something, it becomes a rishon. However, there's a separate rule based on a pasuk that if you're talking about a metal kli, at least, and the metal kli touches the corpse itself, it stays the status of being an avi avos. And if it touches, that's not relevant to our mishnah. What is relevant to our mishnah is if a tumay mace, a person was in the same room with a common roof as a corpse, so he becomes a tumay mace, an avatuma. If he touches a metal kli, the kli will also be an avatuma, meaning it doesn't go down one stage, it stays the same level as him, an av. Which means if the person's a tumay mace and he touches a spoon, the spoon becomes an avatuma also. And if the spoon then touches some truma oil, the truma oil will become a rishon. Okay? So, the basic case of a mishnah is actually that you have a candelabra that's got these little the lamps that you put the oil inside for burning, and the cups of the candelabra are made out of metal, not the usual whatever you think earthenware cups. It's metal, and therefore, if a tamei mace touches the metal cups of the lamp, the metal cups become avos atuma. If you would put truma oil that has to be burnt, you're allowed to, when it comes to truma, you're allowed to get benefit, the Kohen is allowed to get benefit from the burning of the truma. So he has truma, it has to get burned because it's tameh. And let's say this truma is a shlishi. It became a shlishi because the tevul yom touched it. So tevul yom touches the oil, becomes a shlishi. Now it can't be eaten, but it can be burned, and he can get benefit from the burning. So he's going to put it, the shlishi oil, into a av hatuma metal lamp, which then would convey tuma, making the oil now become a rishon, by virtue of it had direct contact with the av, the metal av atuma, the lamp. So that means you'd be taking something from being a shlishi to a rishon, from a third stage to a first stage, you're taking up two levels of tuma. And Rabbi Akiva's point is that you could also do, so he's more lenient, if you will, than Rabbi Chanina, in as much as he's allowing not to go up just one, but even two stages of tuma. That's his basic point here. Says the Mishnah inside, Hosef Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added a bigger chiddush than Chanina Skan Kohanim. And he said, Miyameim shel Kohanim, during the whole time that the Kohanim served in the Beis HaMikdash, lo nimnu milahadlik es ha-shemen, they didn't refrain from lighting oil, truma oil, shenifsal b'tvul yom, that became invalidated by contact with a tvul yom. Nifsal, to become pasul in the context of truma, means to become a shlishi. Okay? And if it's, okay, whatever. Nifsa means the last stage of the most it can be distant, okay? So it became nifsa b'yom b'tful yom, became a shlishi because it contacted a tful yom. And they would put it without, they wouldn't refrain from putting it b'ner shnitma b'tumei mace, into a metal lamp that became tamei from direct contact with a tumei mace, meaning that the lamp is also an av, which means that you put it, the shlishi oil, into the av tumei lamp, it'll become a rishon. And they didn't refrain from that. Afal pisha mosifin tuma al tumaso, even though you're upping its level of tuma from being a shlishi to being a rishon. And the halacha, essentially the Rambam brings both of these opinions of the halacha. So this kula is in fact la halacha.